But see, they hate that. How dare you? How dare you? I'd fly over Greta Thunberg's house, wherever she's at, moon her too. Because if I had a private jet, Shy and I, we would go to McDonald's. Put me in jail. I'm a billionaire. Me and Taylor Swift are on a date. Screw Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce. I don't even know what the brother's name is. Nobody heard from his goofy ass either. Won the Super Bowl. Tried to sing a Garth Brooks song. Sucked. Maybe Nancy's boobs are changing the poles. Maybe that's drawing the moon closer to the orbit and causing some, you know, some tidal disruptions. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Chad Prather Show. Thanks for tuning in. It means a lot. Do not forget that on Mondays and Wednesdays, we have our audio only to the point episode. You find them exactly where you can find this one, where podcasts are offered. You search out the Chad Prather Show, and you can't see my beautiful face, but you can hear this gorgeous voice. My mother, texted me late. My mother should not have been awake that late. Scared me. Honestly, I say late. For me, late these days is 10 o'clock. I'm going to bed. My mother texts me and she said, Chad, I'm listening to your audio podcast. She has no clue how to get to it. I'm calling you out, Mom. She says, I'm listening to your audio podcast. I send her the link because she would never find it otherwise. And she says, Chad, it sounds like you're drunk. She said, and not just you, anybody that's on there, they sound like they're drunk. And I'm like, Mom, you're listening to it at 3/4 speed. I said, you gotta push the button and get it where it, don't let it say 0.75 down at the bottom. Who would want to slow me down? At least hit it at 1. She said, you sound like you're drunk. Well, who knows, Mom? Maybe I am a little bit. It's party time, Mom. Party time. I blame Shy. Shy's the reason. He brings me the good stuff. But no, head over to where podcasts are offered. And a lot of times people say, you know, we don't know exactly how to leave a rating or a review. So if you go to Apple Podcasts and, you know, you do a little search, if you're an Apple user, a lot of people aren't, I get that, but I would say about 70% of our listeners are Apple users. If you go to Apple Podcasts, you click the little icon, the little purple icon for podcasts, and you go over there and you search the Chad Prather Show. When you pull up one of those episodes and you scroll down in the library of those things, you can actually, let me turn the volume down on that one so you don't have to hear me. But you go to the library, you click on the Chad Prather Show, you scroll down past a bunch of episodes, and you are going to see a place where you can tap to rate, and you hit 5 stars, and then it says write a review, and you write one in there. Let's read a couple of these reviews and see what we get. See if I can find them, first of all. But I've been getting the emails from Chad at the ChadPratherShow.com, and I really appreciate that. We're kind of streamlining that process. But a couple of things that were said. The Chad Prather Show was much, much better when he worked for Glenn Beck, but I still listen to his show. Thanks, Danny. We tend to disagree with you. One, I never worked for Glenn Beck, just to be clear on that. I worked for The Blaze, but that's not working for Glenn Beck. And so appreciate that. He gave me 4 stars for the effort on that. I can tell you the Chad Prather Show might have been much better for you when I was there at The Blaze, but the Chad Prather Show is better for me now. Trust me. I'm a better Chad because of this. Love the new format. I do miss seeing Sarah and others on your show and vice versa. But you're one of the funniest podcasts out there, and you're also one of the realest and aren't scared to speak your mind. That's why so many attack you. But that just means you're hitting the target. Keep on. Let's see what it says. Keep speaking the truth, Chad. We'll keep listening, brother. Your brother from Georgia, Big Daddy Bingel. Bingel, I never say that right. But thank you for that. I appreciate that. And you can see Sarah. You can see Sarah if you tune in. Like, she was just on the show this last Tuesday. Chad, you have a great show. It's one of the only political shows. I don't get super angry. Keep up the good work, brother. Thank you very much. Love that they make me laugh. It's good to get to see that humor hasn't left the world in some places. I look forward to the laughs and some critical thinking from a wise, thought-provoking podcast. Thanks, Chad. Chad's new format keeps up with the pace of the world right now. That is Flyover State LLC. Thank you. Appreciate that. I try. Most of the time, Shy just pulls my string, and I just keep on talking until the Adderall wears off, you know? What was I thinking about this morning? I was thinking about climate change because that's what I do. That's what I just wake up and I start thinking about it. And you know, my buddy, Judd Dunning, I referenced this book a couple of weeks ago, 13 and a half reasons why not to be a liberal. He's got these really cool excerpts inside each chapter that talks about the liberal argument and then the fact. And so I was reading back through this book again, and he's got a chapter in here that talks about the green elephant in the room, and he talks specifically about climate change. Now, for the last, I don't know, I remember back when I was a kid getting the weekly reader, you know, that would come to the school, and I can remember they would had articles in there about acid rain and what it did to not just your car, but the environment. I can remember the chlorofluorocarbons that were burning up the ozone layer. There was a hole in the ozone layer over South or Antarctica or whatever it was, the South Pole. And I remember worrying about this ozone layer, this ozone hole. I didn't want to use any hairspray because I was afraid the aerosol was going to burn it all up. This was 40 years ago. This was a long time ago. I was worrying about these things as a kid. You know, these days, we're sitting here worrying about the end of the world, World War III, solar flares that are taking out AT&T, which, by the way, folks, that didn't have solar flares ain't going to just target some services of AT&T. So, and then if it was a solar flare, AT&T is not going to come out and give you a $5 rebate on next month's bill. But that's what they offered everybody, basically. You can go out there and get half a cup of coffee from Starbucks on your AT&T rebate. You know, whether it's a cyber attack, whether it's nuclear satellites put into orbit by the Russians, whether it's climate change, whether it's a globalist agenda, whether it's the elitist cabal that's coming for you, if it's the Illuminati, the Bilderbergers or the Rothschilds or whoever it may be out there, whether it's open border, whether it's murderous cartel members that walk our streets, there's all these things out there that could be the end of the world that could cause our demise. We've been worrying about this stuff forever. I can remember, you know, putting the book over my head in the hallway or hiding under my desk while I was in school for everything from a nuclear attack to a tornado drill. All of these things have been going to kill us, and I'm 51 years old now. How should I now think about these things? Because the world is more dangerous than ever before. And they tell us the world's going to end anyway because of climate change. Now, the same people that are telling you that are also jumping on their private jets and flying to Davos, or they're building their multi-million-dollar 15-bedroom mansions on the coast, everywhere from Miami to Martha's Vineyard. And they don't seem to be worried too much about the rising tides, but they want to make sure that you fall in line. And so this climate change stuff that, you know— they want to tell you got anywhere from 5 to 30 years left to live on this planet. This has become a religion for these folks. And you get on here and it's garbage science. It really is. You know, the great apostle Greta Thunberg from Sweden stood before the UN and said, "We are at the beginning of a mass extinction. And all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?" I love her so much, Shy. I just want to put her in my bucket. But, you know, Greta was also, you know, riding first class on these super fast trains, getting around Europe, jumping on jets and going all over the place. She didn't paddle boat to the UN that day, I can promise you that. But she gave Donald Trump that evil death glare. You know, Greta Thunberg is a perfect example, and the liberal re-leftist progressives online would tell you that, ooh, she lives rent-free in your head. No, she just actually is an easy target. because she's a perfect example of a kid with Asperger's who was abused by her parents. Because, you know, and I'm reading the Weekly Reader and I'm getting a little nervous about the hole in the ozone layer, but at least it was me reading the stuff when I was a kid. Yes, I was that boring child who was reading stuff like that. Greta was indoctrinated. She was created from the ground up to be an activist. They built that into her. And then she's going to stand in front of the world's elitists and power brokers at the United Nations and say, how dare you? You believe in eternal economic. You get the point. That's been multiplied exponentially now for years of these so-called climate alarmists, climate activists. And so my question to you is, are we in trouble? Is the world about to end? Are the rising tides going to drown us all out? And are we, are these the beginning of the end of days, all because of what humans anthropologically have created in destroying our world? I think you know my answer to that, but I want to unpack it just a little bit, if you'll bear with me. 2015 Esquire, Esquire magazine. This was the title of the article, When the End of Human Civilization is Your Day Job. I like that. It said, climate researchers and activists suffer from depression and PTSD-like symptoms. For just such things, a Salt Lake City support group provides a safe space for confronting what it now calls climate grief. Okay. I don't want to make fun of your anxiety. I don't want to poke you in your stress point there. But really, a safe space for your climate grief? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you spend a lot of time in therapy. I mean, I've kind of been through a lot of wild shit in my life. I've seen some things, you know. I can't say that reading the Weekly Reader about acid rain was anything that put me in counseling, though. Like, I didn't feel the need to go in there and rub a teddy bear and hug a pillow. I just never wanted to do anything like that. But again, we have these alarmists out there who have created this idea. They've created this idea that it's the end of the world. And a generation of people have bought into this notion. And so I'm asking you, is there real science behind this? Is what you're hearing from everybody, from the president to the mainstream media, is this a real thing to be worried about? This is a quote. I want to read this because this is in Judd's book. This is Dr. Marvin Traeger, PhD, Millennial Policy Center. Yeah. these people. It remains very ironic that today's highly flawed new legislative proposal, the Green New Deal, was named in homage to FDR's original New Deal, referencing it as a model of past legislative success, when ultimately that was a well-known big governmental failure. See, that's the point he's trying to make there is FDR's New Deal, much of it was, we talked about this in a recent episode, much of the New Deal was not constitutional. A lot of it was ruled out by Congress. It couldn't be pushed through or forced through. It was a bad idea, and the New Deal did not work out well at all for Americans. It didn't. Remember what I told you, the thing that gave America the economic boost at the end of FDR's, coming out of the Depression, at the end of FDR's term. He died in his third term as president. But the thing that gave the economy the boost was World War II. It wasn't the New Deal. It was World War II. So, you know, we've been, 30, 40 years now where climate change has been a central point of, you know, the political issue. You've got everything from so-called science to the news media to Greta Thunberg and other prepubescent children out there begging the United Nations. It's become a religion. National Geographic and NASA. Everybody thinks if NASA says something, that it's got to be a fact. Remember, folks, NASA is a government program. It's government funded. NASA says what the government tells it to say. We won't even get into the moon landing. We're not going to touch on that yet. Okay. Maybe another episode. People love to challenge me with certain conspiracy theories because I am a conspiracy theorist. And I can make arguments either way on the moon landing, but we won't touch that one today. But those of you who are watching this thing, I know there's some of you listening to it say, we ain't never been to the moon, we ain't never been to the moon. Nah, NASA was lying, the government's lying to us, all of this kind of stuff. There's aliens in freezers somewhere on an Air Force base somewhere out there. Okay, maybe so, and I have no problem believing it because NASA is a government mouthpiece. They are a government institution. They're funded by the government. So, you know. Hey, guys, I want to remind you that maybe things are not as dismal as they seem. I mean, you still have time to prepare. And there's a point to preparing. Like, you want to make sure that your family's taken care of. You want to make sure that your people are protected. That in the chance that something bad goes down, you are taken care of. Protect yourself. Protect your people. You deserve it. You need to rely on yourself. And the folks out there that will help you do that is My Patriot Supply. They got a cool new deal going right now at MyPatriotSupply.com. They've helped millions of Americans prepare for uncertain futures. I know that I am a customer, I am a partner with them, and I have used their products. Now, what you need to do is you need to go out there and start with their four-week emergency food kit by Ready Hour. It's 16 food and drink varieties, so you're not going to have food boredom. There's a lot of cool stuff in there, over 2,000 calories a day, so you're not going to go hungry either. So they're sealed inside the ultra-durable packaging, and the meals last up to 25 years in storage, so you can always know that you're prepared. I want you to go to my special website, preparewithchad.com, and get your food kits. Get them because your family deserves it. Preparewithchad.com. Each four-week food kit from Ready Hour right now is $60 off. Also, you're going to get the free shipping like usual. So protect yourself, protect your people. If you're not ready, well, it ain't Ready Hour. Use Ready Hour. Go to preparewithchad.com. That's preparewithchad.com. But here's how National Geographic and NASA define global warming and climate change. Global warming is two different things, by the way. They always want to remind you that those are two different things. Global warming is the unusually rapid increase in Earth's average surface temperature over the past century, primarily due to greenhouse gases released by people burning fossil fuels. It was a term that was coined by geochemist Wallace Smith Brecker in 1975. So those greenhouse gases, you human beings, man, you and your greenhouse gases, you have screwed everything up. Well, climate change is the long-term alteration of temperature and typical weather patterns in a place. Climate change could refer to a location or the planet. Climate change may cause weather patterns to be less predictable. So I saw the other day where it was going to be 80 degrees in Kansas City, and then it was going to be snowing by midnight. I'd say that's a pretty climactic climate change to happen. I mean, if you're gonna drop that many degrees in temperature and it's going to change that much in, you know, just a few hours, interesting. I've seen that happen in Texas. I've seen 40-degree fluctuations in Texas not too long ago, actually. So you could say, well, is that an evidence of climate change? You say, well, you know, the scientists have proven to us that the temperature since 1919 has increased over the last 100 years by a degree Fahrenheit. You know, it's like old Dennis Miller says, back in 1919, I'm not so sure that in the years prior to that, that the scientists had a real firm grasp on Fahrenheit. But dear God, here we are, a whole degree hotter. You know, there's two different things that you can approach climate change with. There's two different competing ideas. There's really more, but let's just look at the two big ones. You got the anthropological and the skeptical. The anthropological view of climate change, they're the ones who says that me and you ruined it. We screwed up the earth for everybody. It's our fault. Climate change is a present reality that alters our physical environment and impacts human cultures around the globe. Climate change intensifies underlying problems, poverty, economic disparities, food and water security, armed conflict. I mean, the weather's doing all of this, folks. Oh, not the weather, it's the climate. Okay. Heightening these issues to the point of widespread crisis. So the anthropological view is kind of like one of those, there's this thing out there called the IPCC. That's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Boring. They have a report that states that most of the observed increase in global average temperatures since the mid-20th century is very likely due to the observed increase in anthropogenic greenhouse gas concentrations. So that anthropological view, those believers in that insist that climate change exists, that ideally the climate is supposed to be stable, but we keep effing it up. We're usually told that by people who fly around the world on private jets. I mean, you take Taylor Swift, for instance. Taylor Swift has a bigger carbon footprint on a weekend than you'll have in your entire life. All right. She came under a lot of scrutiny, a lot of criticism recently. They were saying that she was logging more hours on her private jet than any other celebrity out there, which I say kudos to you, Tay-Tay. You get your ass on that jet. You worked your butt off for that thing. You fly it all you want it. Because if I had a private jet, Shy and I, we would go to McDonald's. We'd be like, what's up? Like, we would land that thing out here on I-45 and go into the mall. Like, we would clear a spot. I mean, you think Tom Cruise was bad in Top Gun, buzzing the tower. Oh, Shy and I, you'd hate our guts. Because what we do is we fly around your house with our fingers out the window, giving you a big bird to the people that treated us bad in high school. Kiss our ass. Like, we'd be the guys that are, like, sticking our butts out of the window. That's a sweet country apple right there. Bow, 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 bow. This right here, this should be a meme. Bow. That's what we would do if Shy and I had a plane. We'd get us one of those little prop Cessnas, man, and just fly it low and slow. We'd drag a flag behind us telling us, you know, FJB, LGB, let's go, Brandon. And oh, by the way, kiss our ass. That's what we'd do, bro. We'd piss everybody off, man. Hey, you know what? Climate be damned. We don't care. We don't care. There's enough trees out there to build a coffin to put your old ass in one. So you'll be okay. But see, they hate that. How dare you? How dare you? I'd fly over Greta Thunberg's house, wherever she's at, moon her too. Indecent exposure. Put me in jail. I'm a billionaire. Me and Taylor Swift are on a date. Screw Jason Kelsey, Travis Kelsey. I don't even know what the brother's name is. I think it's Travis. Ain't nobody heard from his goofy ass either. Won the Super Bowl. Tried to sing a Garth Brooks song. Sucked.
Blamed it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined the Niners affair. The last one to know. We were the last one to show. We were the last ones they thought they'd see there.
But the climate skeptical view says there's other influences at play. So you got the anthropological, that's man. So, you know, just to break that down, the etymology, so you already know this, but I just want to prove how smart I am sometimes. Anthropos, which means man, okay? That's what they're saying. It is the study of man. Anthropology is the study of man. Logos, Greek for word. Anthropos, the word for man. So it's the study of man, anthropological. This is that climate change is the study of how man screwed it all up. But then you have the skeptical. The skeptical says other influences. There's the sun, there's solar flares, cosmic waves. I don't mean the kind of thing you're tripping on when you're on LSD. There's water vapor, there's cloud cover, there's pole shifting, there's natural events. And so, you know, climate change skepticism is kind of that discourse that generally refers to a family of arguments and individuals that rejects, disputes, and question the orthodox and often politicized anthropological view. So, you know, that kind of rejects the view that man is even big enough to do any lasting damage to the planet. So, you know, yeah, the weather changes. You know why? Because it's the freaking weather. Yeah, the climate changes. It's like old Party Foul Steve says, you know, Party Foul Steve on the show, he used to say, you know, when the world's done with us, it'll shake us off and just keep on going. It all, you know, it just tends to do that. I mean, just we'll just go the way of the dinosaurs, if the dinosaurs even existed. That's another episode we'll get into. That's another one. We'll also talk about who built those pyramids, because that's literally impossible. But climate change deniers, how dare you ever call yourself a climate change denier? That's like denying the Holocaust. I mean, that's evil. Those are dirty words. But if you have somebody that is skeptical, they're going to call you a Holocaust, they're going to call you a climate change denier. And that means, hey, you might believe the climate changes. We all believe that the climate changes. But, you know, it has forever, because the world's kind of been around longer than we have. There are those inherently natural cycles out there. So those folks, the quote deniers, they specifically challenge the validity that carbon dioxide levels are the key elemental factor of climate change. So again, that's a horrible, you know, that's, might use a better word, climate hoaxers, because they believe the movement itself is a hoax. I tend to be that person, okay? I tend to be that guy. I tend to be that guy to believe that they have politicized climate change to the point of them wanting to maintain power and to scare you shitless so that they can control you and you remain a puppet under their control. If you look at almost everything that's going on in the world today, almost everything can be traced back to this religious fervor and the propagation of the so-called climate alarmists. Nancy Pelosi, you know, a year or two ago, she said that's why everybody's coming to the American southern border, because climate change has screwed everything up. And these Nicaraguans, they don't have fields to plow anymore. So now they're coming up here looking for yard work. I didn't say that. She said it. Nancy said it. Old Nance with her fake boobs. She's the one who popped off about that. Maybe Nancy's boobs are changing the poles. Maybe that's drawing the moon closer to the orbit and causing some tidal bait, you know, some tidal disruptions. It's all because the orbital power and the tractor beam, you know, draw of Nancy's silicone. It could be. I don't know. But she said it. This mass migration of people coming to America's southern border, they've said it over and over again. It's because of climate change. They've said that racism, climate change. You look it up. It's out there. Which, by the way, racism, everything is racist. Climate change causes racism, and climate change is racism. And to believe in climate change is racist. So they believe in everything at this stage in the game, and it all gets traced back to the whole Green New Deal. The Green New Deal is all about, what were they going to do? You know, AOC comes up with this policy idea. She didn't come up with it, but they used her as the pawn to float this stupid idea. It looked like something that an eighth grader wrote with a crayon. And they're going to do this $90 trillion infrastructure rebuild of the United States, which basically means every building in existence is going to have to be torn down and rebuilt in order to fit the Green New Deal. For it to be sustainable and for it to be green energy approved. And so now I was just in West Texas. Well, I was out towards West Texas. Is anything west of Fort Worth to me is West Texas. I'm out there. There's windmills just dotting the horizon. Some of them moving, some of them not moving. We learned when the power grid in Texas went down on that deep freeze that the windmills in Texas, they don't work. They burn right up when it gets below 32 degrees, apparently, because unlike the windmills in places like Idaho, we don't have the little engines inside our fan blades that keep them warm when it gets cold, because we just trust that Texas is always going to be hot, or at least not that cold. So they're all out there, you know, doing their whole thing. They're floating around out there, ugly, destroying the beauty of the landscape out there. What I've said we need to do is take those fans and put them on top of the wall down there at the southern border and let those be like the last obstacle, and put little pads at the end of the fan blade, so when Miguel's putting his second leg over to climb into, you know, El Paso or Del Rio, it just pops his ass back right into Mexico. He's back in the agave fields making that tequila like God intended. God love him. I like him there. But anyway, I'm being facetious. So In 2016, there was a Pew poll that stated that 48% of people believe that climate change is caused by human activity. 48%, so that's half. 31% believe that it is naturally caused, and 20% cite no evidence to prove accuracy either way. So there we are. So those anthropological folks, they just believe that we all got to come together. We got to worship at the altar of Greta Thunberg. We got to take action against climate change now. Even if, and here's where it gets scary, they're willing to violate your individual rights. They're willing to change your economic realities. They're willing to destroy your businesses just so we can fix climate change. You are an acceptable sacrifice. We will toss you and your virgin daughters into the volcano. We don't care. Whatever, because we got to save the planet. We got to save the planet.
Hey guys, you know, for 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say the only one, trust me, they are the only one. And Patriot Mobile has been a great supporter of this show, and I'm proud to continue partnering with them. You know, Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, and they give you access to all three major networks, which means you're going to get the same dependable coverage that you're accustomed to without funding leftist causes. See, when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message. You're saying that you support free speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, our first responder, and our military heroes. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team, which is going to make switching so easy. You can keep your number, keep your phone, call them up. They'll help you upgrade with a brand new phone. Whatever you need, their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. You go to patriotmobile.com/Chad. You call them on the phone if you want to, 972-PATRIOT. Talk to them. And you get free activation when you use promo code CHAD. I spell it Chad. That's right. Join me. Make the switch today. Go to patriotmobile.com/Chad. That's patriotmobile.com/Chad. Use promo code Chad. Call them up. 972-PATRIOT.
I mean, we're not going to have an earth to give to the next generation that comes along. I mean, when did liberals... I pick on them a little bit. It's not just a liberal issue. There's a lot of people out there that believe in anthropological climate change, and you're not necessarily politically liberal or progressive, although it tends to be that way because they always have those wild eyes and the purple hair. And they eat a lot of muffins, apparently, because they got big asses. But those folks, they'll abort babies. I mean, they want to shout the abortion. You know, they want to get out there and take the Plan B pill right there on a news show. I haven't seen them do it. But yeah, they're worried about the next generation inheriting the earth. Something about that just seems a little false to me. But you know, those alternative views to demanding immediate action, you want to do a Google search on any of that stuff and try to see what you can find on it? Because it's buried pretty deep. The research that would push back against that acceptable narrative tends to get buried pretty bad. That's one of the reasons I tell you to go to places like, Freespoke or to DuckDuckGo and use them as your search engine instead of Google. Because, again, the media and politics, they're out there. They're going to shape the beliefs. They're the ones who are shaping the doctrines out there. They don't want you seeing this stuff. And climate change, if they can prove to you that your life and the way you live your life is basically ending the world, they can get you to do anything. And they can pass legislation that guarantees it. So, you know, you got a lot of stuff that's going on. I want to get into a couple of things. But 2019... You know, Greta Thunberg does her UN speech. On that same day, a group of 500 prominent scientists and professionals sent a registered letter to the UN Secretary General contradicting Greta Thunberg. Their letter stated that there is no climate emergency and that climate policy should be designed to benefit the lives of people. See, that's the difference. Right now, big government's okay with destroying the lives of people in order to protect their doctrine of climate change. These scientists said opposite. This group of 500 prominent scientists and professionals that sent the letter, they were led by Gus Burkout of the Friends of Science, a Canada-based nonprofit organization run by dedicated volunteers comprised mainly of active and retired earth and atmospheric scientists, engineers, and other professionals. Here's what they said. Are you ready? Are you ready? Number one. Natural as well as anthropogenic factors cause warming. Two, warming is far slower than predicted. Could somebody get John Kerry on the phone? Because I want to talk to this guy. This flies right in the face of what this guy is saying. Because he said, well, there's more of us here now, and therefore, you know, he's testified before Congress. There's more people here, and that's the problem. That's scary rhetoric there, old John. Three, climate policy relies on inadequate models. Interesting. Four, carbon dioxide, CO2, is not a pollutant. It is a plant food that is essential to all life on Earth. Photosynthesis is a blessing. What? More CO2 is beneficial for nature, greening the Earth. Additional CO2 in the air has promoted growth in global plant biomass. It's also good for agriculture, increasing the yields of crops worldwide. Well, that right there is problematic because I don't think they want to increase the agriculture industry here in America. You will eat the bugs and you will be happy. You will eat the bugs. I mean, they came out and said the cows, the farting cows, are what's destroying the ozone layer. It's all that freaking methane. Like Ron White said, I'm eating the cows, dude. I'm trying to eliminate the problem here. But yeah, there's an attack against the ranchers and the farmers of America, the agricultural industry that's out there. That is a very known, provable fact. Number five, global warming has not increased natural disasters. Number six, climate policy must respect scientific and economic realities. And seven, there is no climate emergency. What? What? There is no climate emergency. Therefore, there is no cause for panic. So now, help me understand this. Who am I going to believe? A former bartender from the Bronx named Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. Ah. As Alex Stein says, his big booty Latina.
Ay, ay, ay. This song is dedicated to all the big booty Latinas. AOC, I'm talking to you, señorita.
Are we supposed to believe that smooth-brained moron? Or maybe 500 prominent scientists? I think I'm going to go with the scientists. And I'm not one of those trust the science guys, especially after COVID and the pandemic lockdowns. Because but apparently, you know, the climate, anthropological climate alarmists out there, they'll trust the science when it convinces the world to shut down and do their bidding. But they don't trust the science when it comes to what scientists say and their logical conclusions from their hypothesis from using scientific method when it comes to climate change. So there's polls of scientists that are out there actively working in the field of climate science. They indicate strong general agreement that the Earth is warming. Human activity is a significant factor. 31,000 scientists say that there is no convincing evidence that humans can or will cause catastrophic heating of the atmosphere. Oregon Institute of Science and Medicine has an online petition that says, we urge the United States government to reject the global warming agreement that was written in Kyoto, Japan in December 1997 and any other similar proposals. The proposed limits on greenhouse gases would harm the environment, hinder the advance of science and technology, and damage the health and welfare of mankind. There's no convincing scientific evidence that human release of carbon dioxide, methane, farting cows, or other greenhouse gases is causing or will in the foreseeable future cause catastrophic heating of the Earth's atmosphere and disruption of the Earth's climate. Moreover, there is substantial scientific evidence that increases in atmospheric carbon dioxide produced many beneficial effects upon the natural plant, animal, environments of the earth. So, okay, those of you that are suffering from climate PTSD and in your safe space, you can breathe. You can breathe. Feel free to exhale some of that CO2. Let it out. Draw back in the oxygen, okay? But you can breathe deeply now, knowing that there's a good chance that when you breathe that hot air out, you're not ending the world. It's insane. I mean, this absolutely, this is liberal demagoguery, is what it is. This stuff, we'll put these clips on social media. And we'll say some of these controversial things. And I can guarantee you on Twitter, Instagram, all these places, the climate alarmists, they'll come out because they need it. They need it. They have been brainwashed and they are minions of big government because they know that, the big government knows this is how you control people. You can depopulate, you can birth control. You say, well, they're not trying to do that. Bill Gates is very much on record talking about what he wants to do in Africa. Yeah, he definitely wants to bring that population way down. And I don't even get me started on Anthony Fauci and what he did in what I call the genocide of an entire generation when it comes to the AIDS epidemic and pandemic in Africa. So don't even go there on that. That track record is deadly. Not to mention the fact of what happened here during this pandemic. And I've been on a 3-year strike on YouTube for quote medical misinformation. So I'm not even going to approach it. But I will say this: there were things that were available to people to help them when they got the vid, and you were demonized for that. You were ridiculed. You were made fun of. You're using horse paste. You're using cow dewormer. Not even going to touch it. But why would they demonize that? I mean, again, if it doesn't help you, it ain't going to hurt you. Why are you going to demonize people for trying these things? Seems to be now they're coming out and saying, yeah, it did a lot of good. I'm not going to say anything else about it. 3-year strike, bro, on YouTube. 3 years, 368,000 subscribers on YouTube channel that you're watching right now. And you can almost guarantee that every single one of my episodes, and you go back and look at the numbers, is going to have between 6,000 and 15,000 views. That is stupid. You're looking at a YouTube channel where I used to sit in my truck and talk for a minute and a half and get 3 million, 2 million, 1 million, 750,000 views. And now we're going to come in here and give you a professionally produced podcast where we're talking and your people are watching. 368,000 people are subscribed to it. The YouTube subscribership on my thing hasn't grown in a year. Why? Because this is the kind of shit they don't want you to know. And I can't talk about it. I can't have an opinion. We can't debate it. We can't discuss it. We can't have any form of dialogue because medical misinformation. Climate misinformation. We're going to fact check you. We're going to add context. I'm telling you, this is what the scientists said. This is what they wrote the letter and said. People get pissed off, man. You want to talk about people getting divided over this stuff. I mean, I just want to talk about the weather. Yeah. Oh, man. What do we want to get into? Well, 97% of scientists believe in man-made climate change. Have you heard that? 97% of scientists. Well, let me help you on that. So that's a falsehood. It's based on a deliberate misinterpretation of a study. If you go and look at honest science and statistics, outliers are thrown out. You start cherry-picking the outliers, that's the height of dishonest science. That's garbage science. It's trash science. You can't cherry-pick the outliers. The key to any credible study is the sample size. So if a poll claims that 100% of people vote Republican, but the poll also only asks one Republican, well, that study is going to be invalid. You can't do that. A sample size of one person is too small to be statistically significant. So with that 97% poll, you had about 10,000 scientists that were involved with one single conference that were sent a questionnaire. 99% of the scientists that were there never answered the questionnaire for various reasons. So there were about 100 scientists who answered the survey, and 97% sided with the extreme leftist position on human-made climate change. So the sample size was under 1%. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. So when people start throwing that 97% of science, I hear it on the radio, man. I hear people debating it all the time. That's a horrible science. That's trash science. You know, you got liberals out there say, we care about the environment, and all you conservatives care about is big business. You just care about your money. Okay, let me run through something here. And again, Judd Dunning's book, 13 and a Half Reasons Not to Be a Liberal, he points this out. Republican Richard Nixon created the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. Not saying it's right or wrong, but he created it, okay? George Bush Sr. signed into law major amendments to the Clean Air Act. Democrat Clinton, as Arkansas governor, ignored home state business Tyson Chicken polluting local waters. Republican Party remains what Reagan Legacy Foundation director Larry Greenfield calls the big green elephant. Both parties want a clean environment. The trick is how to secure that clean environment without strangling economic growth or bankruptcy in the country. Conservatives tend to seek a middle ground while understanding the business power, the American economic engine. Liberal solutions tend to be cost prohibitive and require massive new legislation that have been proven to stifle growth. So the Green New Deal is going to offer a $90 trillion restructuring of America's infrastructure. That doesn't make any sense. AOC was talking about building a train to Hawaii. What? Joe Biden referenced building a train from, San Diego to the Indian Ocean. I don't want to take a train to the Indian Ocean. You can't do it. I shouldn't have to explain it to you, but it's geographically and topographically impossible to put train tracks on the water. Pacific Ocean's a big piece of water. A very big piece of water. You're not running a bridge over there. They say, Republicans, you just want dirty air. You want pollution. You want dirty water. Okay. I just drank a bottle of water. I promise you I did not want it to be dirty. That is the least serious argument by these folks out there. To say that you want dirty water. Have you ever woken up? Have you ever run across somebody who says, you know what I want to do? I want to destroy the earth. I mean, I want to mess this place up. I want to pollute this deal. You say, well, big oil and gas, they do. Okay, let me stop. Fracking, let me stop you right there. We'll get into that in just a second. But I don't know anybody that says, you know what I want to do? I want to drink some shitty water today. I really want dysentery. I want worms, man. We used to go to Africa, and we would pull worms out of people's skin. You take a matchstick, take a wooden matchstick, and those worms would embed into their skin because they would go into the river, whether they were washing clothes or bathing or whatever. And that dirty water, those worms would get into their skin and they would grow. I mean, they would grow, some of them a foot long, 18 inches long. You would take the matchstick and you would get the end of that worm. It was almost like a little bump there. You break through the skin, you pull that worm, and you start rolling that worm on the matchstick. And it was incredible what was coming out of those people's bodies. Why? Because of dirty water. You know, that's why people like my friend James Robinson have worked all over the world to make sure that water filtration systems were being placed in these third world villages, because they wanted children, they wanted families to have healthy water. They were getting sick, they were diseased, they were losing their lives over these filthy conditions that were there. You can't tell me that anybody's out there just looking to destroy the planet and they want to drink dirty water. Nobody lacks that kind of compassion, except maybe Bill Gates. But nobody wants to do that. We drink the same water, folks. We breathe the same air. We till the same soil. I'm pretty sure we want to make sure that it's clean, right? You know, I can't drink the poison and hope you die. We're drinking the same stuff. You know, they got to say, well, NASA said it. You know, I alluded to that earlier. NASA said it. That means it's got to be true. Here's the deal. NASA, their data shows that the global temperatures dropped sharply in 2016 and 17. Writing on Real Clear Markets, Aaron Brown looked at the official NASA global temperature data and noticed something surprising. From February 2016 through February 2018, global average temperatures dropped by 0.56 degrees Celsius. That, he noted, is the biggest two-year drop in the past century. The 2016-2018 Big Chill, he wrote, was composed of two little chills, the biggest five-month drop ever, which was February through June of 16, and the fourth biggest, February through June 17. A similar event from February through June 2018 brought global average temperatures below the 1980s average. So, well, if you go to NASA's website, I guess it's still that way. I don't know. You can look at one of their opening statements that says, climate change and global warming. NASA first acknowledges the existence of Milankovitch cycles, which describe these three periodic variations in the way Earth rotates around the sun and its effect on the temperature. The Earth's climate has changed throughout history. Just in the last 650,000 years, there have been seven cycles of glacial advance and retreat, with the abrupt end of the last ice age about 7,000 years ago, marking the beginning of the modern climate era and of human civilization. Most of these climate changes are attributed to very small variations in Earth's orbit and change the amount of solar energy on our planet that our energy our planet receives. Then they go on and they list all the different climate issues that are out there. So they kind of are being contrary to what people say. NASA says it. NASA says it. You know, new NASA data, blowing gaping hole in global warming alarmism. Trump's NASA chief changed his mind on climate change. He is a scientific hero. NASA says that CO2 is a coolant, not a warming gas. So, again, when they use these arguments against you, you can poke holes in them. Well, the oil industry, deregulation of the oil industry caused the Exxon Valdez. I remember that when I was a kid. That oil spill, you know, you had the seals and the ducks and the birds and all of these, you know, wildlife out there. They were covered in oil and people were out there cleaning them up and it just dagger to the heart. 1989 Exxon Valdez tanker crash was one of the worst environmental disasters in American history. However, the problem was not caused by oil or government policies. Those of you who remember this story know this. Captain Joseph Hazelwood was drunk. He was on the brown liquor. There are already laws on the books dealing with drinking and driving. Most of these cases involve automobiles. Major deal. He ran the thing ashore, busted a hole in the tanker because he was drunk. If an airline pilot crashes and it turns out he's drunk, I mean, go watch a Denzel Washington movie. There's a whole movie called Flight about him flying drunk. There's ramifications and consequences of that. But everybody wants to talk about, you know, the Exxon Valdez being some big, you know, you get the point. You got the Deepwater Horizon. They made a movie about that. That's a Mark Wahlberg movie. Deepwater Horizon, that oil spill. That was in 2010. You remember that? That was horrible. I remember when that happened. I was working for Granger Industrial Supply. We made a lot of money selling the cleanup supplies for that in the Gulf. It was a tragedy. But there's no American law. There's no American policy that would have changed what happened there. And by the way, it was BP. And I don't know if you guys recall what BP stands for. That's British Petroleum. BP is not an American company, so chill. Oh, man. They say, well, Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Agreement and repealed environmental regulations. Do you remember that? Remember when the world lost their freaking mind because Trump pulled out? Well, the Paris Climate Agreement was terrible. I mean, it was flawed at its core. They exempted China and India, which, by the way, are two of the world's biggest polluters. Each of those nations has more than a billion people, more than triple the population of the United States. And they weren't going to comply. So without their compliance, the agreement is meaningless. So whereas the process of reporting and reviewing climate goals was mandatory, the climate targets themselves were only aspirational. I mean, even in that deal, China wouldn't have to voluntarily abide until 2030. And the EPA-backed agreement could not be quantified. Obama's clean power plan is fully implemented for 14 years, would do nothing. And again, Greta Thunberg hasn't gotten on any planes and gone to Beijing to call out Xi Jinping and the CCP. They just talk about America. They're not calling out India. But yet here we're supposed to spend trillions of dollars a year to be a part of the Paris Agreement, which is nothing more than a massive redistribution scheme of wealth. I mean, what they were doing is they were taking money, they were transferring the wealth from rich nations to poor nations in order to right their supposed wrongs, the past wrongs. So basically, the Paris Climate Agreement was us paying reparations to other countries. And Trump pulled out. Kudos to him. Well, Joe Biden popped right back into that thing, didn't he? Just a redistribution scheme. Fracking poisons the water. Hydraulic fracturing, or fracking for short, is a private sector drilling technology that is safer, more efficient, more effective than traditional drilling. You got all these Hollywood celebrities out there that are against fracking. Remember when Leonardo DiCaprio got his Oscar and he was on stage talking about his, what was the movie, The Revenant? And he was talking about, we had to keep chasing the snow and the ice because everywhere we went, everything was melting, because the key to the story was they had to be someplace that was cold and frozen, because that's the story, you know, based on a true story. But we couldn't find the snow. We couldn't find the ice and all of this crap. So, you know, these celebrities, they're against fracking. I got a great T-shirt out there. It never really sold like I thought it would. It said, "Frack Joe Biden." I thought it was fantastic. Nobody bought it. Now people are going to send me messages and go, "We want to buy it." Maybe we'll get it online for you soon. But, you know, fracking somehow connected to oil, so it just sounds like something you got to, it's got to be bad. You got to protest it. So with fracking, water is injected into rocks to split the rocks open. It's led to some of the largest natural gas and shale oil finds in American history. The price of natural gas plummeted when oil companies began fracking. In September 2019, America for the first time became a net exporter of petroleum. By the end of 2020, America is projected to be a net exporter of all energy, including crude oil, rather than a net importer. It's a bad argument. We got to invest in green energy. That's another thing they like to say. We got to invest in green energy. That's sound business. You know, get more windmills up there. Get more solar farms out there. I mean, you know, Trump's right. Y'all make fun of him, but you know those windmills there actually are sending out waves that are causing the whales to beach themselves. And everybody made fun of Trump for saying that. It was like, something wrong with the whales. I don't know if you know this or not. Quite honestly, I didn't know, but it's the windmills that are causing the whales that are coming up on the beach and going crazy. Turns out he was right. Turns out that's actually happening. Turns out they do kill birds that fly over them. Oh, and don't even get me started on these 2,000-acre solar farms that are basically, you know, creating an oven in the sky because of the heat that radiates off of these black panels, and birds fly over them, and I mean, they get cooked. Where's PETA on this thing? Got to invest in more green energy solutions. Well, you ask a liberal to name one alternative energy source that is functional, fungible, and cost-effective as oil. They can't do it. They can't do it. T-Bone Pickens, he's gone now, but he was an oil man to his core. The only thing T-Boone Pickens, the only thing he liked more than oil was making money off of oil. He invested $1 billion of his own money in wind power. Guess how much he made? Zero. Guess how much he lost? Every single penny. Every single penny. I like what Mark Stein called those windmills, a condor Cuisinart. We got to go. Listen, the drive a Prius. You got to drive a Prius. You don't need that big gas guzzler. I have a Ford F-250. I'd really like to have an F-350 just because. Think about how stupid this is. Now, thank you. Thank you, environmentalists. Thank you, EPA. I have to put diesel exhaust fluid every, 1,000 miles or so. I have to put diesel exhaust fluid into my diesel fuel burning truck. What that means is I have to go into a store. I have to buy a big 25-pound box full of fluid. It's a cardboard box. Inside that cardboard box is another plastic container that has a little funnel, you know, nozzle that goes like that, the little accordion out, and you got to screw it on the top, and you have to pour that fluid into your truck, into a special receptacle right there. There's a few fuel stations out there that actually where you can get it from the pump, but that is very rare. When I find it, I utilize it. And then, well, you know what I do with that cardboard box in that plastic receptacle? I toss it over there at the trash can, toss it in the garbage, so it can now go to the landfill. But that diesel exhaust fluid, it's going to clean up my carbon emissions. It's going to clean up my diesel emissions that are coming out of the exhaust pipe of my truck. So you guys really thought that one through, didn't you? Stupid. Absolutely stupid. You know, the Prius, you guys know, that's made by Toyota. I'm just using it as an example. You know, I'm sure that buying Toyota, by the way, is Japanese-owned. Don't you know buying a Japanese car is the best way to boost the American economy? I mean, isn't that logical? Doesn't that make so much sense? But more important, the Prius is not an environmentally friendly car. Those batteries are bad for the environment. Liberals insist that these lead-acid batteries can be properly recycled. When they're not recycled properly, they release high levels of toxins into the surrounding atmosphere. We've talked many times about the Tesla batteries. That's not cost efficient, and it's also not environmentally healthy. And by the way, you're going to charge those things, it all goes back to coal. It all goes back to coal. You're going to have those coal plants that are going to give you the electricity so you can charge up your little green fruity car. Campus studies prove climate change. Yeah, the most honest and credible scientific trials involve double-blind studies where neither the tester nor the subject know the results in advance. Drug companies rely on double-blind studies to truly determine whether their drugs are more effective than placebos. These companies get in trouble when they don't do that, when they break the double-blind seal and look at the results in advance. It corrupts the future trials. So that's dishonest trash science. So college campuses are overwhelmingly liberal. An unhealthy majority of wealthy individuals who fund these studies demand that the results match their desires, and the results that contradict the human-made causality theory are often followed by threats to pull research and grant money. So they got to come out, when they do these studies on college campuses, they got to come out with the desired outcome or they lose their money. So when the grant money's pulled, research departments, they close down. The inherent conflict of interest can corrupt the process from the inception. So you got these young researchers on college campus. They're desperate to survive financially. They're not going to bite the hand that feeds them. They're not going to do it. So if the human-made causality argument keeps their facilities open, guess what? They're going to find the science that backs it up. We've seen this over and over again. So folks, you know, what are we saying here? Climate change, it's riddled with lies, fraudulent science, garbage, trash science, and also immorality. It's driven with almost a religious fervor. It's not good, folks. And you know what? I want you to breathe easy, because the earth is actually going to be okay. You can believe the brainwashing rhetoric, the schemes and the strategies. This whole, you know, the Green New Deal is the answer. It's not. It's not, folks. And we've seen that. AOC said the Green New Deal we are proposing will be similar in scale to the mobilization effort seen in World War II or the Marshall Plan. It will require the investment of trillions of dollars and the creation of millions of high-wage jobs. We must again invest in the development, manufacturing, deployment, distribution of energy, but this time green energy. Half measures will not work. The time for slow and incremental efforts has long passed. She insisted that if it's not done within 12 years, later she revised it down to 10, that the world in April 2031 would cease to exist. Boy, the time is running out, Shiner. People believe that stuff, though. And the IPCC just encouraged the hysteria. $100 trillion, that's right. You know, presidential candidates who initially rushed to embrace the Green New Deal, they ran away from it. Mitch McConnell, he put it to a vote. Senate rejected it. But they found ways to implement it. Just look around. Look at what they're doing these days. They instituted COVID. Man, they shut things down real quick, didn't they? All printing money, debts and deficits are okay. The embracing of modern monetary theory, all of those things all lead to the ability to justify Green New Deal initiatives and policies. So you say, well, it could never happen. That's what we said years ago. We said, it could never happen. But here's the thing. Nobody thought to teach millennials and Gen Z the first law of socialism. When you abolish private property, you got a problem. And that's exactly what this would do. Because the climate alarmists, they're more than willing to sacrifice you, your belongings, your possessions, your next generation, and your property in order to accomplish their religious zeal. Boy, that destroys the American spirit, doesn't it? Now, couple that with a lot of different things, and I'll let you critically think about this as you move on about it, and if you've stayed with me this long. This is one of those things where now you think about the mass migration of illegals that have come into this country, which that too is coupled with this climate alarmist policy, bureaucracy, overspending, debt, all of these things. You couple all that together, the American dream is dead, folks. There is no American dream. You're not allowed to have that anymore. It's gone. Keep an open mind, folks. Ask a lot of questions, demand uncorrupted evidence, and I want you to share this episode because there's a lot of arguments in here, and I want to hear Greta going, how dare you? How dare you? Thanks for joining us. The Chad Prather Show, leave us a rating, leave us a review. You know the instructions. Also go to watchchad.com where all the fun stuff is. Find us. We have a cool little link there on watchchad.com where you can actually go to the podcast link in the menu. And I've got several different offerings. You can find us on Rumble, find us on YouTube. Many of you are watching it here. You can find Spotify. You can find, Apple Podcasts, all those things. And so if you're looking for a way to go leave a rating and review, you just go to watchchad.com, go to the menu, go to podcast, then click over on Apple Podcasts, and then you scroll down after you've added this show to your library, and you leave us the rating and review. So important, so important. Where were we last week? We were ranked 48th, and Sarah Gonzalez was 44th. Sarah says, you're chasing after me, and I'm like, oh, kick your ass. Oh, kick your ass, Sarah. We're so close together. We see each other's images on the charts. It's like we're together again. Together again. I appreciate you so much, Shy. Thank you. Thanks to our friends over at Mission Studios who do so much hard work to get this show out there and into your earballs and eyeballs and into your living room. Thank you so much. Share it. Tell your friends about it. And know that we really appreciate you. I love you. God bless you. We'll see you next time.